Radio.
Radio
X.
The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
Welcome to the Evening Show podcast on Radio X. I'm Gordon Smart. Producer Vin is here out of his mind on caffeine.
It's a very odd feeling. It feels very strange. I'm not a massive coffee drinker.
Yeah.
I'm sort of normal, I guess.
Yeah.
I don't know what possessed me, but I just kept pouring today.
Vin, I'm 37 years old, right? And only in the last couple of years I've got into coffee and I've gone into it hard.
It feels dangerous.
It does. It gives you because
I'm a bit manic.
I haven't dabbled in it before, right? And I've really started to get a proper kick off the old double espressos. But now I need more.
You know what it does? It explains Johnny Vaughan to me a bit more now. I understand why he's so feisty.
Johnny Vaughan unravelled. There you go. It's been a busy week again, Vin, this week, hasn't it? Virginia Grohl, Dave Grohl's mum. She was great. What a lovely woman as well. 79 years young. Quite happily trotting around the world with her son in one of the biggest rock bands, the Foo Fighters, and quite happily watching him misbehave. I thought she was really compelling and really interesting.
Yeah, I know. I love listening to that. I've got to be honest. Yeah,
we were on Best Behaviour, weren't we? It was very polite. I had to kind of watch my P's and Q's. She was lovely. And also Simon Farnaby and Julian Barrett. And, you know, I know you're a fan of the Mighty Boosh as well, Vin. It was a real pleasure having them in.
I need to go and see Mind Tour now because you keep telling me it's excellent.
I loved it. Unexpectedly so as well, because I didn't realise it was a film. I thought it was like a sort of Netflix hour-long series that went on for 6 episodes or something. And the characters in it are amazing. You know, you've got Julian Barrett playing the main character. He's amazing. But Simon Farnaby does this guy called Clive Parnovic, who's excellent. And there's another creation in it called Jeffrey Moncrief, who is ripe for his own series. He's such a funny character. It was amazing. So all of that stuff, Simon Farnaby, Julian Barrett, Virginia Grohl, and loads of other stuff. This is the Evening Show podcast from Radio X, and I hope you enjoy it.
Radio.
Radio.
X. The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
Now, I'm very pleased to say that two incredibly funny men have joined me in the studio. Julian Barrett and Simon Farnaby are here. They have written and starred in a great new film called Mindhorn. If you don't know what it's about, the best way I can describe it is poking fun at Bergerac, Lovejoy and The Million Dollar Man. I think that's the best way to describe it. I've got to congratulate you, gentlemen. Julian Barrett, Simon Farnaby. Mindhorn is absolutely brilliant. I haven't seen a film that funny for a long, long time, so congratulations, first of all.
Well, thank you very much. That's very, very nice.
We should explain very early on what the premise of the film is, I suppose. Mm. I don't know who's mastered this, because imagine you've done it a few
Neither
times.
Of us. Who's, no, this is why it took 9 years to make it, because we couldn't get the pitch right. It's quite tricky, because it works at 2 weeks, so we give it a go.
Let's try. Yeah.
Do you want to start?
I'll start. Okay, so Mindhorn is a film. It's about a TV show that was set on the Isle of Man in the 80s, a kind of Bergerac meets Six Million Dollar Man type show. And Mindhorn was a detective who was the show. But Mindhorn's... I've gone wrong. Let's start again.
It's about an actor.
It's about an actor.
He used to be in a show called Mindhorn.
I wish I was in on the pitch when you sold this film to the studio.
Yeah, it was really difficult. It's about an actor. He was in a show called Mindhorn, set in the 80s on the Isle of Man. He was a detective with a robotic eye that could see the truth.
Yes.
But our film starts 25 years later.
Yeah, and there's the real police on the real Isle of Man. They're looking for a murderer, and the suspect rings the police and says, "I will only speak to Detective Mindhorn." And the police go, "Wasn't that a TV show?" And he goes, "Get me Mindhorn." So he thinks Mindhorn is a real detective. So the police have no other lead, so they decide to find the actor who used to play Mindhorn. And so they look for him, and they find him, and now he's a bit washed up, and he's bald, and he's overweight.
That's where I step into the frame.
That's where Julian...
Tough bit of method acting for you, Julian.
I step through the window. You had years to practice this.
Yeah, I was spending a lot of time getting into shape, getting to know the character.
Getting out of shape.
Getting out of shape, just really sort of inhabiting him and doing what he would do, sort of failing auditions, doing a lot of work that wasn't seen. Staring
into lakes,
just wandering about, eating a lot of stuff, drinking too much, and just becoming the man himself. Yeah. It was so very, very method.
So the actor sees it as an opportunity to relaunch his career off the back of this sort of police investigation. So really, a lot of the comedy is about very serious police, serious investigation, played very real, and then you got this quite sort of poncy actor who's sort of hoping to relaunch, to reboot his failed career off the back of it.
Sacha Baron Cohen got a spot of baller with Grimsby, didn't he? Are you in any way apprehensive about how the people of Isle of Man will respond to your portrayal of their fine place?
Do you know what? We're in a really happy place now, because we've been to the Isle of Man, we've done a screening, everybody came, because you can't fit everyone on the Isle of Man into a cinema.
Yeah.
And they hated it, and we got chased away with a birching stick. No, they really liked it. They got a great sense of humour, and they said we were on there. I went, oh, we love a lot. We know what people say. We don't care.
Radio X. The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
Boys, I loved the film. Can we just talk about the cast? You've got a great cast in this film.
How much of that was down to your black books, and how much of it was written for people you knew, and how much was it down to the other people involved with money asking for big names to be involved?
Well, I mean, the script is about an actor, so actors responded really well to it.
Yeah, they
initially
liked
we sent it out to farmers, and they didn't respond.
That,
well.
That was a mistake. Yeah. We should really have started.
Postman
by sending.
Then we sent for postman. They didn't like it.
They went, "Why are you sending me this?"
We
stuff?
Had a real breakthrough when we sent it to actors. Yeah, and they really responded. But no, they liked sending themselves up. I think so. They loved it. So it's actually quite good once we started reaching out to these people.
Kenneth Branagh actually was in it from the very start.
He embraced it, didn't he? He embraced it. Yeah,
he was the first.
He embraced the role. And they loved the role.
He enjoyed being himself a lot.
Yeah. Simon Callow as well was
Callow, yeah, beautiful. He's great. Callow got involved, got his boots muddy.
He had to eat a salad in that scene, and he ate 27 salads.
This is the commitment.
It's a record.
Of the man.
That is the man. We went, you don't have to eat a salad in every single
actors,
day. Went,
actors are some of the bravest human beings you'll ever meet. And
you
to eat that many salads in one afternoon.
It's braver than being a coal miner.
Or a fireman.
It's a commitment. And then Steve Coogan, you've managed to get him to play himself again.
Yes.
A very healthy and clean living man now, Steve Coogan, I believe. And he looks like it in the film, because he has there's a bit of nudity in the film, and he at one point exposes his toned torso.
It's incredible, isn't it?
He enjoyed it.
He sort of requested that. He said, I've been working out. I've been on a juice diet. Can I show it off? And we went, okay.
Yeah. Yeah. It's great to have him involved. It's
fantastic.
He sprinkles some magic dust as well.
He is brilliant. And of course, he's a legend. When Nolan and I were doing the Bush in Edinburgh, he saw it and thought, I like this. I want to try and sell it to the BBC. So he was instrumental in that. And then in this, he was
a great supporter.
He came involved in this and helped this get made. Yeah. And so, you know.
He met him socially. Saw him, and then he went, what's this film you're doing with Julian?
Very helpful man. I was putting up a shelf the other day, and he came around. Yeah. I'd like to help you out with this. I think I could help get it to the final stages.
Yeah.
Let me hold it up.
Radio X. The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
Right, that was Kings of Leon. I'm Gordon Smart, and you're listening to The Evening Show on Radio X. And our good friend of the show, Stockport's finest, Mr. Tom Ogden from Blossoms, is on the phone, and he's got a new song out. Tom, how are you, brother?
Very well, mate. How are you?
Yeah, I'm really good. I think you might be in a urinal right now. It sounds a little bit echoey.
Yeah, I've just, I've just finished, but I was.
I thought...
Bad timing, but yeah.
I thought I heard a zip going up there right at the beginning. That was just slightly suspicious. So, Tom, it's been 5 months, I think, something like that, since you were last on the evening show. What have you been up to in the last 5 months, just very quickly?
Russia, Japan, all through Europe. A big, massive UK airline tour. Biggest one we've ever done, actually. And then we've been in America for 3 weeks. I got back last week, so I've just recovered from the jet lag.
How was Russia?
Great, you know, some of the most passionate fans we've ever come across. We didn't know what to expect, you know, I mean, we've never been in. We'd only seen stuff like online, and we got a fair few like tweets and stuff. Then we went there, we sold like about 600 tickets. We're like, what's going on here?
Yeah. So, Tom, listen, you've got a new single coming out, right? We're going to give it its first play on Radio X in just a second. It's a collaboration with Chasing Status. How did it come about?
Well, we were in a studio doing some stuff, just demoing about, and they heard it was us, and then we ended up chatting. Well, I did, and then I went in. Ended up in a room with them, and then we kind of just, the tune came about out of that, really. It's dead organic and just kind of happened.
Yeah, how did you instigate it? Were you the first person to pull out an instrument, or how did the creative juices flow?
They work with like drum loops and stuff, don't they? So they had like a bank of drum loops, and some of them were a bit too far for me, you know what I mean? And there's a few keyboards in the room, so then one thing leads to another, doesn't it?
So I read a little line from you where you said that it was good for you to step out of your comfort zone, but there was also a little thing you said where you said, I believe the kids call these tunes bangers, but if you're calling them kids, what does that make me?
Like, I don't know, mate. Young at heart.
Like the Duke of Edinburgh in 95 or something like that. But seriously, was it stepping out of your comfort zone recording in a different environment like that with a band from a sort of slightly different background?
Yeah, totally. Like, I'd never ever co-wrote before or anything like that. I've always just wrote tunes in my back room before, do you know what I mean? It was beans on toast and a cup of tea.
Yeah.
Very close by. So this is quite, it was obviously very different. And if it wouldn't have been, if nothing would have happened, it would have been, do you know what I mean? It would have just, that would have been the way it was. We were never going to force anything. So the fact something happened was just kind of proves that you can sometimes go out of your comfort zone and something good can come from it, can't it?
Too right. Right, Tom, well, I'm going to give it a play now. This is the exclusive first play on Radio X of the new single from Blossoms and Chasing Status. It's called This Moment. See what you think of this.
What if I could call you up at you?
Radio.
Radio
X.
The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
Tom, you've recorded with Chasing Status. Do you think this is the start of something else? Do you think you're going to do more collaboration? Is it giving you the appetite for it?
I don't know. We're very busy ourselves, and we're going in to do some, to do our second record like over the summer, I think. So I think at the moment we're lined up for what we're doing. But that said, you don't know what'll happen, do you? If something naturally comes about, then definitely, why not?
Too right. I mean, I was thinking Chasing Status, right? It's got quite a polished sound to it. You know, it's like a Cagney and Lacey or a Starsky and Hutch, but Donovan and Ogden's got a little bit more of a Solicitor feel about it. Who's the natural double act in your band?
Do you know, it's probably Joe and Miles, because they live together.
Right.
Yeah. Joe's winding them up all the time.
Yeah.
So, I'd go for them too, really.
I was thinking about Miles actually when I heard about this collaboration, because the last time I saw you, he'd just built his own sort of quite elaborate Jean-Michel Jarre style keyboard riser. And is that where he must have loved the Chasing Status collaboration?
Yeah, so he was like very, when he'd heard, he came in and was like, wow, nice to meet him and all that stuff. So he's well into a lot of different types of music, Miles, but yeah, especially that.
I tell you what, Thomas, I can't have you on the phone without asking you about the summer ahead, Glastonbury, and supporting the Roses as well. How excited are you about the summer ahead?
Do you know what, mate? You can't even put it into words, really, can you? And it's, the thing is, it's not even just them. It's like travelling around with your mates and going to like America and doing all these mad things there. Things like that, they're like the icing on the top of it all, aren't they, when you meet your heroes and stuff like that, and you get to do things like that. Do you know what I mean? It leaves your speech, I suppose.
Yeah.
But it does hit you every now and then when you're just maybe sat on a tour bus in the middle of nowhere and you're like,
yeah.
Wow.
How massively it controls the guest list.
Oh, God, we'll be strict on that. Plus ones. Whereas you don't get, you have more, but we don't want to tread on anyone's toes.
Ah, too right, man. Well, listen, Tom, all the best with the Chasing Status stuff. Can't wait to hear the new stuff when that's written. And we'll see you on the festival circuit this summer, brother.
Yeah, mate, definitely.
Radio. X. The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
I'm still joined by two very funny men indeed, Julian Barrett and Simon Farnaby are with me. They have written and starred in a great new film called Mindhorn. It is a caper, to say the least. You've had about 16 or so screenings of this now, right? So you've done countless interviews. Can I ask you to tell me the one question you haven't been asked that you'd like to be asked about Mindhorn?
Nobody asked about Wogan. Okay, so,
yeah, Wogan,
so we mentioned Wogan.
Yeah.
But in the clip at the beginning, Wogan is not in the clip. He originally was.
Yeah.
Is this a good...
Well,
what happened was, Wogan, especially because I love Terry Wogan, he refused us to use the clip.
God rest his soul.
And within hours of finding out, we sort of went, God, I can't believe you. What's wrong with Terry? Why has he refused us? And then so I went, oh, well, Terry Wogan has just died.
Oh.
And so we went, oh.
If there's one thing...
Was that the last thing you
thing
did
do
was
deny... before I die. You've got to stop to this.
Tell them they can't use my image.
You bookended Terry Wogan's life. Mindhorn was the last thing in his mind.
Just a little bit of nugget that I thought I'd share with you that no one really... asks about.
I really appreciate it.
It's a little sort of fat tidbit. I mean, you know.
It adds something to it. Gentlemen, I'm writing a book called Slash Gordon, which is based on the most famous people I've happened to bump into next to at the urinal.
Oh, yeah.
So the idea is that it carries on, right? So mine was Sean Connery, and I thought, I wonder who the most famous person Sean Connery stood at.
This is good.
It's like toilet reading when you're, you know, having to think. You know, who you could have a little read through the book. And we've been asking all the guests we've had on the show to give us their stories, and we've had some great answers. The likes of Jack Nicholson, Robert Smith from The Cure was Damon Albarn. So loads of great answers like that. Mm. During the film of this, you must have found yourself beside something incredibly famous at the urinal, or have you got another great showbiz encounter that you could share with us?
Once I was in Edinburgh Festival when I was very young,
and just starting out in comedy. And I was very excited to find myself next to Vic Reeves.
Yes.
And I sort of blurted, I was a bit drunk, and I went, Vic, I hear a big hero of mine, and we were born in the same hospital. And he went, what, St. James's in Leeds? And I went, no, Greenbank in Darlington. And he went, well, that's got nothing to do with me. And sort of shook himself and walked off. And I thought, that could have gone better. That's my good.
Oh, that'll go in the book.
Radio X.
The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
It's a great film, Mindhorn. It's very funny indeed. But also,
we should point out there's a huge musical element to the film, which really is a special part of it.
Thank you.
The scene in the caravan with the best character I've seen for a long time, Geoffrey Moncrief, who feels like every Scottish man I ever worked with in newspapers. And it's probably where I see myself in about 10 years' time. Looking and behaving a lot like
in a caravan.
I just feel like
with a blow up doll.
He feels like a real character. He is wonderful in it.
He could have a spin off.
He could. Yeah. Oh, definitely. Definitely.
Yeah. But liked exploring all the aspects of Richard's career, you know, thinking about what he might have done after his acting thing went wrong, you know, and then he branched out into music, or he got a bit full of himself and tried to release a single or two, and so we wrote a tune for the film, and I've released that as well, made a video for it.
Which is a beautiful song. It's called You Can't Handcuff the Wind, I believe.
You Can't Handcuff the Wind.
It's a very profound
metaphor.
It's very deep. So
it's a metaphor, but it's a very, very erotic piece of music.
It's the sexual undertones in that song.
I mean, it's a little bit too much for some people. Is it an evening show?
It is an evening show.
Okay.
It might be a bit too heated. The heat might go through the radio.
This might get your juices flowing, ladies and gentlemen, because I've got a chance. We're all about music at Radio X. This is the first airing on Radio X of the new single from Mindhorn. This is You Can't Handcuff the Wind.
She calls my name, this itching in my feet. I got an engine that you can't tame, even with your mouth so sweet.
Very 80s.
A thousand kisses and sad goodbyes, but it's too late for...
Keytar, Julian?
Not a keytar, no.
Did you write this?
Yes.
How long have you had this material?
30 years.
I can see a tour with Ricky Gervais and Mindhorn.
Yeah, we're... I'm working on more tunes, and hopefully there's a. I mean, Richard's oeuvre has been discovered. Mind dug out.
Yeah, they're finding more and more
finding
old
and
tapes in Geoffrey Moncrief's caravan.
Yeah. Yes, they found a big lockup in one of his garages, and it was mainly filled with porn.
Yeah.
But amongst the porn, there was some old tapes, some old Betamax tapes, and we're dusting them off bit by bit and revealing gradually to the public some of that musical back catalogue.
Julian, Simon, thank you very much for coming in. Mindhorn is... It's excellent. It's really, really good. All the very best for it. And I'd love to see Geoffrey Moncrief make an appearance. If we can just concentrate on his development as a career now.
Sure.
I'd love to play a part in that, if I can, in any way.
Yeah,
I aspire to be him. Yeah. All the very best for the film, gents. Thanks so much for coming in.
Thank you very
much. Thank you.
Radio X. The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
The Evening Show. Classic album of the week.
X.
Okay, so every Monday night I like to delve a little bit deeper into an album that I love. It's a little bit self-indulgent, but hopefully you get the chance to enjoy it too. We've had some great albums over the last few Mondays. U2, Joshua Tree last week, had Stone Roses before that, Oasis definitely maybe, Primo, Scream, Screamadelica, and on and on and on. Tonight though, nearly 16 years ago to the day, The Strokes' Is This It came out, and that made me feel very old when I spotted that earlier on, because I can remember specifically, vividly, the moment I heard that album for the first time. I was in Edinburgh, I was in my final year at university, and a good friend of mine was a musician in a band called Goodbye Mr. McKenzie, and he said, I've heard an album from a band in New York that I think will change this decade musically. It's unbelievable. And he stuck Is This It on by The Strokes, and I was mesmerised for the next hour. It's an outstanding album, and I tell you what as well, as far as a band goes with good names in it, you don't get much better than The Strokes. Julian Casablancas, Fabrizio Moretti, Nicolai Frattuori, Nick Valenzi, and the new member of the band at that time was Albert Hammond Jr. And he brought a bit of a punk influence to the tunes. It went to number 2 in the UK. It was a platinum seller, so hugely, hugely popular. And the songs on it are brilliant. Hard to Explain, Last Night, Take It or Leave It, Is This It, Someday, New York City Cops, The Modern Age. It goes on and on. A brilliant track listing. And if when you listen to it as well, it sounds like it was recorded live, and that's because it was. It was a really simple, classic rock feel, classic production, lo-fi, stripped-back, fuzzy guitars without any pomp or circumstance. There's only a little bit of distortion and reverse echo on it. No other effects were used. What else can I tell you about it? Julian Casablancas, this is brilliant. I never knew this before, right? He said that he wanted the band to sound like a band from the past that took a time trip into the future to make the record. Get your head around that, but it's a great idea. And Albert Hammond Jr. and Casablancas made the rest of the band mixtapes before recording and gave them very strict orders. Take the music in a completely opposite direction to what you're listening to right now. Producer Vin always likes to get involved in this because he's a proper muso, bedroom producer and great musician himself. What about it makes is this it memorable for you, Vin?
I think normally when we do classic albums, you talk about how the album feels or what it makes you think about, whatever. With it, is this it? It's just how it sounds. It's got that, like you were saying, that band from the past being transported to the future. It sounds like a 70s garage band. Julian Casablancas' voice is just put through that PV amp. Yes. It's all distorted and all faded and all fuzzy. And the drums sound like it's like a drum machine. They only had three mics. And normally when you mic up a drum, you've got loads and loads of mics.
Yeah.
So it makes it sound really lo-fi and really tinny, and it's like a drum machine. It's brilliant. It just sounds like nothing else.
It's an unmistakable sound, isn't it? And you think it might have given a bit of a lead to the likes of Libertines at the time, because it was really stripped back. And there was a bit of punk spirit about that as well. And I think that was New York at the time, just at the turn of the millennium as well. Quite a special time for music. There are no gimmicks in the lyrics either. It's all Route 1, Julian Casablancas singing about city life, the realities of New York, traffic, sex, drugs, jobs, parties, routines. It's very unflashy and unshowy, and that's why it's brilliant. But this gives us a chance on classic albums every Monday night to play two songs back-to-back by a band we love from an album we love. Tonight is The Strokes. I'm going to play Hard to Explain in a second, but first, this is brilliant. This is Someday on Radio X.
The Evening Show. Classic album of the week. X. Radio X.
The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
The Evening Show. Classic album of the week.
X.
Classic album of the week this week is This It by The Strokes. It's 16 years old, can you believe it? I played you Hard to Explain, and Someday. Loads of great messages coming for that as well. Keith Corrigan said, great choice. Mark Cox as well, album of the decade for me. And Dolt Brilliantly, I think is her name, on Twitter said, I can't believe Is This It is already 16 years old. Someday's such a banger though, great tune. Thank you, Radio X. And El Dudirano as well said, great album, memories of the Blue Room pub in Blackpool, making all sorts of mistakes. It is a great album, enjoying every second of that. The Beast side of Hard to Explain was New York City Cops. A couple of you sent this trivia in as well. It was omitted from the US album release after 9/11. Julian Casablancas would sometimes change the lyrics live to New York City Girls, They Ain't So Smart. And what about the album cover as well? It has to be one of the most iconic of its time. It was shot by a bloke called Colin Lane, and it was a photo of his then girlfriend. It was what you can only describe as a spontaneous picture, which means a slightly naughty one, after his missus came out of the shower. HMV and Woolworths objected and threatened to boycott the album, but didn't follow through in the end. And you know what as well, I didn't realise this, but the band didn't actually want that as the album cover, and they called up the manager and said they'd found something even cooler than the ass picture, I think was the quote. And the band had a subatomic particle track in a bubble chamber, whatever that is. That was on the American release. I didn't know that, did you, Vin?
I'd seen the picture before. I never realised that was the reason. It's that yellow and blue one you may have seen.
Yeah, I spent hours debating that album sleeve, but I've been told by producer Vin I can't go into any more detail on that.
Careful now.
But we're talking as well about the influence of The Strokes, and you think about it, they had such a big say on the decade from 2000 to 2010. So many bands picked up from them, Libertines, post-punk, but not just them, synth-pop, The Killers, you can think about as well, bound to have picked up a little bit.
I think a lot of the bands that we play on this radio station wouldn't have come into being if it hadn't been for the Libertines.
Yeah.
And the Libertines wouldn't have come into being if it wasn't for the Strokes.
Fair enough. I absolutely agree with you. And also from a fashion point of view, that New York cool, skinny jeans, I think started somewhere around there, making men slightly bigger, slightly embarrassed by wearing jeans that shouldn't fit them. Their girlfriend's jeans, leather jackets, long hair. It was cool to look like the Ramones again. How about that for a classic album tonight? Is This It from The Strokes? Loved every second of that. If you've got a suggestion for us to do on classic albums on a Monday night, get in touch, 83936 and at Radio X.
Radio
X.
The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
I'm very excited indeed about our next guest. Virginia Hanlon Groh is the mother of Grammy-winning rock star Dave Groh. She retired from a 30-year teaching career, then jumped on tour buses, planes, travelled all around the world to rock shows with her son and the Foo Fighters. Our next tour, though, was travelling to meet the mums of other rock stars, and they provided some brilliant, brilliant subjects for her first book. It's called From Cradle to Stage, and it's a really, really compelling read. And I'm delighted to say that Virginia Groh is on the phone right now. Welcome to the show, Virginia.
Thank you.
I've got to start off, Virginia, by saying thank you very much for producing David Groh, I should say. That's what mothers call a Dave, isn't it?
Yes, I'm glad you have enjoyed him and his work. I've enjoyed it very much.
I should say, Virginia, there are a lot of hollow words in showbiz, but I'm just so pleased to tell you that I've been lucky enough to interview your son a few times, and he's always really consistently brilliant, really kind, honest, authentic, genuine, and I've never heard a bad word about him. So you've done a brilliant job bringing him up, I have to say.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. He's fun to be around, always.
You must be incredibly proud of him.
I am.
Virginia, can you do us a little favour and explain to our listeners everything about Cradle to Stage, this book you've written? What's the inspiration for it, and why have you decided to do it?
The inspiration was that David has been inviting me to come to his shows since he first started playing them, and I've enjoyed going to all of them from when he was 12 years old to now. And so I sit in the back of the stage or the side of the stage and watch them and wonder why the other moms aren't there. And so at one show about 3 or 4 years ago, I was sitting with a friend and said that to her, "Where are they? I wish I could meet them." And she said, this is Jill Berliner, my good friend and David's attorney. She said, you should go find them and write a book. And it truly was that simple. And so on our way from the stage to the backstage, we started making a list of people that it would be fun to talk to and to go find. And that's how it started.
That must have been an incredible wish list, because you've got some amazing names on there. Pharrell's mum, Mike D's mum from the Beastie Boys, Janice Winehouse, Michael Stipe. I'm fascinated to know about that extended list. Was it an easy process approaching those people? And how willing were they to get involved with you?
It got easier as I had one or two to say, well, I've already talked to this person. And there was some resistance, I suppose. David said, you know, not all stories are happy ones, and those people might not want to talk about it. So I'm sure I got turned down for that reason a few times. I'm quite proud of the list I got. I love the diversity that it represents. And I love the fact that they're all top-tier musicians. They're all really great musicians and people who have lasted for more than 10 minutes. I had wanted more women to be represented, and they were a little harder to convince to do this. But I think it's because they don't always get a fair shake with the press. They sometimes get gossipy things written about them more often than not. But I love my list, and I became close friends with all the mothers who had wonderful stories.
What's that ratio like of fear to pride, or worry against excitement? You know, what's it been like for you? Because your son's not a travelling guy in a concert band who plays the trumpet. You know, he's been in two of the biggest rock and roll bands of this generation, Nirvana and the Foo Fighters. So what was that like for you?
Well, I think you're right. There is the mixed quality to that. David adjusted quickly and easily because of his personality of being somebody that people enjoy working with. We're always worried from beginning to end, because that's what mothers are.
Mums do that. Your mums worry.
It's in the handbook. It's in the mother's handbook.
Radio X. The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
I know from speaking to Dave over the years that he's a huge, huge fan of Paul McCartney, and he's been fortunate enough to do some incredible things, played with him live. I saw him in LA actually playing a tribute gig to Paul McCartney. It was an incredible thing. And I know that you've been fortunate as well to be with him when he was with your idol, because I know Paul McCartney's one of your heroes. What's it like for a mum keeping it together in front of her son when you meet your idols like that? Is it something that you could give advice to other rock mums on how to handle?
Oh, I just give up on that. It's too exciting to even care about how it's going to look to somebody else. I actually got a double dose of it because I met Paul McCartney for the first time in Liverpool.
No.
Backstage, at a place that we associate, historically with the Beatles, and so that was incredible. And I've seen him many times since, and find him even more charming than I'd hoped he would be, and still one of the greatest showmen I have ever seen. His show is one of the best you can see. He's brilliant.
What a musician.
So I go every chance I get, and he's still playing every chance he gets. It's amazing. When you go to one of their shows, and at the end, they're going to play all the great favorites in the last hour, and everyone's predicting what the next one's going to be and what the best one was. It just goes on and on and on and on. You can't possibly pick one or 10.
Radio.
X. The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
Now, I've got some Kasabian antics to tell you about that we're kicking off today. So just to set the scene for you, Kasabian have got a new album out for crying out loud, and they are in the middle of trying to knock Ed Sheeran off the top of the album charts after 9 weeks. Gorillaz never quite managed it, but this could be the week when it happens. So they're up to all sorts of things this week just trying to promote the album. I had them on the show last week, actually. Serge and Tom popped into the evening show and they were on fine form. So I got a phone call and was asked to pop along today to the Bethnal Green Working Men's Club. Wasn't quite sure what was going on, but it soon transpired that they had something very interesting up their sleeve. So the band managed to gather a group of their pals to star in a video broadcast that went out live tonight at 7 o'clock on Facebook. It was a music video recorded live, and it was for the song Are You Looking For Action, which is a brilliant, brilliant track on the new album. So I popped along and people were there getting their makeup done. So there were characters there done up as vampires, there were some velociraptors, loads of different characters that were referencing all the singles and albums they've had out over the years, the six albums that they've done. And it was quite interesting to see, actually. There were some characters there behind the bar, one of the roadies that features in the front of the album. They had old pals wandering around in straight jackets. It really was quite a funny thing, and we just watched the video back there. If you haven't seen it, make sure you pop along to the Kasabian Facebook page to see the new video for Are You Looking For Some Action. It's very entertaining indeed. It's like Serge playing a working men club singer, and Tom pops out of a birthday cake at one point and plays the saxophone. It really is classic Kasabian, and it's well worth a look. So go along and check that out. And I'm going to play a bit of Kasabian for you now. This is a former record of the week on Radio X. It's a belter of a track. This is You're In Love With The Psycho on Radio X by Kasabian.
Radio X.
The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
Now, I've got a question for you, Virginia. What's the moment where you've really thought maybe it would be best if I was back at home at the moment? Or what's the moment I should call it a night when I'm backstage with my son?
Oh, dear. No, that really hasn't happened yet. I know I haven't been everywhere, and I know I don't know everything. There are secrets, I'm sure, that haven't been disclosed.
Is Taylor Hawkins very polite in front of you, or does he behave like he normally does when you're not around?
He is. Yes, he always gives me a big hug after... Oh, two sentences. He apologizes for his language. I tell him just not to bother. I just say what you have to say. I say that to all of them. And they're all wonderful. I love seeing them all. And, he's quite cordial and sweet. And I know him well at this point.
Now, I've got to ask you. Now this book is coming out and other parents might see this. Is there a chance that you would do another one? Now you've caught the bug.
I waited so long to do this, didn't I? And I don't know. I'm constantly asked that. I'm going to sit back for a while and read somebody else's books, which I've missed doing during this whole process. And I'm going to Italy this summer to celebrate my 80th birthday. And so I think I'll just sit in the sun and drink wine and perhaps have a little bit of a break before I decide what to do next.
Well, Dave Grohl's mum, Virginia Hanlon Grohl, you deserve to enjoy your 80th birthday. The book From Cradle to Stage is a triumph. It's a brilliant piece of writing. There's a wonderful foreword from your son in there as well, Dave Grohl, which is an incredibly moving piece of writing. It's a really a fantastic book, and all parents and all teenagers, anybody who's thinking about a career in music or just loves music, should read this book. I really appreciate it. Virginia, can I just ask before you go, what food song would you like us to play? Times Like These?
Oh, I love that. That's just so perfect for this, isn't it? And thank you for your very kind words.
Not a problem.
I think I'll take you everywhere with me.
Well, that's, maybe I could do a book with you. We can do one together.
Thank you. It's a good idea.
Virginia, have a lovely 80th birthday. We really appreciate your time. Have a lovely day over in California. All the best with the book. That was Virginia Grohl and her new book, From Cradle to Stage. And this is the Foo Fighters Now. Times Like These on Radio X.
Radio X. The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
Thank you very much for listening to the Evening Show podcast. This has come from Radio X. I'm Gordon Smart, producer Vin's been here. Thank you very much for that. If you enjoyed it, make sure you leave a little review and tell all your friends that it's the best thing you could listen to since the Stone Roses. Radio X.